Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the InsideSecure 2015 first half year results conference call. I now hand over to Mr. Richard Vachier de Tournière, Chief Financial Officer. Sir, please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. I'm sitting together with Rémi de Tonnac, our Chief Executive Officer. A few introduction comments. As a reminder, the presentation we are going to use for this call today is available for download on the investor section of our corporate website. Also, during the course of this conference call, we may make forward-looking statements about InsideSecure business outlook. Our forward-looking statements and all of the statements that are not historical facts reflect our expectations and beliefs as of today, and therefore are subject to risk and uncertainties as described in the disclaimer section found in the presentation deck on slide two. Second, during the call today, we will also discuss non-IFRS financial measures. Those non-IFRS financial measures are not prepared in accordance with generally accepted accounting principles. A reconciliation of the non-IFRS measures to the most directly comparable IFRS measures can be found in the press release, as well as in the appendix of the presentation deck we are using today. I would like now to turn the call over to Rémi de Tonnac, that will discuss our key highlight for the first half of this year. Rémi?
Merci, Richard. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us at this time when it is already summertime. Before we jump into the comments on the H1 2015 results, and given that we are at a critical point in the transformation of InsideSecure, and at a point where the results are clearly disappointing, I would like to give first a bit of a reminder of what has been our strategic approach and where we come from. So, 3 years ago, InsideSecure was a company, let's say, 80% focused on NFC chips, and 20% or so, if we can qualify like that, with a strong expertise on very secure chip, the kind of chip that you put next to an NFC chip as a secure element or into ID cards. As we lost the industrial and commercial battle around NFC because of the very late market takeoff that gave time to much bigger competitors to catch up, and we didn't have the critical size, we decided to reposition the company around embedded security. Embedded security, we knew very well, we knew a lot about developing very secure chips, but we decided to position the company around embedded security across the whole security chain, which is much more than just secure chip. It goes to very secure software, and as well, takes into account secure IP, which means secure part of a bigger chip that have to perform a secure function of authentication, certification, et cetera. And we didn't have that. Therefore, we engaged the company on a very profound transformation. We did two acquisitions. We did three strategic agreements over the last 3 years, either to monetize some of our assets, like for the NFC patents with France Brevets, or the exclusive license that we signed with Intel last year around the NFC technology. And this quarter, last quarter, we did finalize the third one regarding our operation group, which is now part of a U.S. company called Presto Engineering. So that is a very profound transformation. To give you an idea of how profound it is, you must have in mind that we were 450 people in the summer of 2012. We are today 300 people, And out of the 300 people today, probably no more than 100 were part of the 450. So you can imagine that it is less than 25% of the people that were in the company 3 years ago that are still with us today. That is very, very profound. So we did, I think, along the last 3 years, we did the heavy lifting part of that transformation, probably the most difficult part. We did as well, and it is clear in the result of this first half of the year, we did as well the quote-unquote easy part on the business side, which is to exit at large, to exit the market where we don't have a strong differentiation, the market where we are just another player next to an STMicro or an NXP or an Infineon. And therefore, we don't have the critical mass to fight those guys. And we did exit those markets to a large extent. Ahead of us, we have now the most difficult part on the business front, which is to ramp up our business in the market that we have targeted. And, of course, it's difficult to have control of the timing of that. Having said that, we are profoundly convinced that we are the right people with the right expertise and that the right time is happening now. And it does not translate in the results yet, but it does translate in significant design win that we have made in the first half or even more over the last 4 weeks in the month of July, where a few big contracts were signed, especially on the software protection side. Contract that, in fact, we were anticipating more into the second quarter, but they were not lost. They just were delayed. Very important point to mention. We are made to be a growth company. We invest a huge amount of our resources. You will see 63% of our staff is in R&D. And it would be totally not reasonable to do that if it was not because we believe that these markets are about to happen and that we have the right product, the right technology, the right setup to address those markets. In the meantime, we have some cash cow, quote-unquote, which is the NFC patent licensing program, on which we are quite confident that we will get more signature and more license and more royalties following the one we had with Intel and LG last year. We were anticipating some of that to happen in the first half, but it is not lost as well. This is going to happen in the second half. And that is something that is extremely precious because this is what is allowing us to fund our R&D and therefore to invest massively for the future. So with that not so short clarification or reminder of our strategic approach, I would like to give more color to those figures of H1, which again are clearly disappointing. Although Q2 is a bit up compared to Q1, Q1 was such a low point that we cannot say that we are pleased with that. Adjusted operating profit is at $16.4 million, 47% of the revenue, which results in a very significant loss, operating loss of $10.8 million or EBITDA of minus $8.6 million. This is not at all where we want to be. And this is, I'm very convinced, the very low point of this transformation. We have managed, on the last bullet point, we have managed again to get our overall structure to be leaner by, in fact, signing this agreement with Presto Engineering, of which business model is to provide engineering and supply chain management services to a fabless semiconductor like us. So we are the first customer today, of course, but we won't be the sole customer. On the business front, as I mentioned, we have signed some very significant contract with a tier one customer. As you may have seen in the press communique, unfortunately, as is often the case in the field of security, we have to stay a bit cryptic on the names of those customers. But when you talk about a world leader in digital security or one of the top three banks in the US, we understand that these are very serious partners or customers or channel to market. The one that we can mention is Visa, although Visa is putting the signature on the on approving the press release probably by today, but they agreed for us to put it in our PR on Friday. And Visa is simply the biggest channel to market that you can think of when you look at services and mobile payments with the banks. So with that long introduction, I will pass it now to Richard to get into more detail on the figures for our different business lines.
Thank you, Rémi. The revenue in the second quarter of 2015 amounted to almost $19 million. That is an increase indeed of 14% compared to Q1 2015, but a decrease compared to the Q2 of 2014. As a reminder, indeed in Q2 2014, revenue included $16.2 million of non-recurring revenue from a licensing of our NFC technology and patent to Intel, on which we have, I believe, commented several times already in the past. A bit more color on our activity during the second quarter of this year. Embedded security solutions revenue fell below our expectations, but the business outlook is promising since several contract wins should materialize into revenue as soon as the second part of this year. We also see a strong business momentum with our technologies acquired from Metaphoric, and indeed we closed a significant licensing agreement with a leading U.S. health insurer in June of this year, which has been recognized into revenue. EMV chip and module sales in the U.S. remain well below our expectations, but in parallel to that, we have signed new agreements, design ins and design wins in the field of the Internet of Things, brand protection and anti-counterfeiting, including in the course of our partnership with Selinco for a customer named Rémi Martin, well, very well known. Then for H1 of this year as a whole, the company reported a revenue of $35 million, and in the first half of this year, the expected decline in revenue from inside secure legacy businesses was not offset, unfortunately, by the build-up of our embedded security solution for mobile application and connected device. However, in the second quarter, as I said, we have won several contracts for our software and IP solutions, which should result in effective business growth as soon as Q3 and Q4 of this year. No commenting on the income statement. Adjusted gross profit came to $16.4 million. That is 47% of the revenue in the first half of this year compared to $38 million 1 year ago. As explained, in 2014, we had benefited from a high-margin license to Intel. Adjusted operating expense amounted to $27 million in the first half of 2015, which is 21% down year-on-year and 40% down compared with the second half of 2014. So the decrease of in expenses is partly due to the shift of Inside to a business model more focused on high added value security businesses. This is exemplified by the licensing agreement formed with Intel in June of last year. And you may remember that as part of this agreement, an R&D team was transferred to Intel back in June 2014 for about 40 staff, which has a direct impact on our cost base. Lower expenses also resulted from the US dollar rise against the euro in the first half of this year, which, as expected by us, reduced our adjusted operating expense by an estimated $3.4 million. Taking into account the movements that we see in the exchange rate and also our existing currency hedging policy, we expect this positive impact on our expense to continue for the second half of 2015, which is a good thing. Also, we took a $4 million non-recurring charge, which has no cash impact and which does not show in the adjusted earnings, but which shows in the IFRS net income, in relation with the partnership arrangement formed on June 30th with Presto, under which we outsourced to Presto our semiconductor engineering and supply chain management services to them. This outsourcing will mainly benefit to our secure transaction business. This would structurally reduce the cost of sales of the products that this division is marketing, and therefore positively impact our gross margin and operating income beginning in the second half of 2015. For the second half of 2015, this will have a positive impact of close to $500,000, and it should increase over time. Moving now to the business outlook of our two business divisions, starting with mobile security. Segment revenue amounted to $11.2 million in the first half of this year. Embedded security solution performance was indeed disappointing, although the outlook, as we said, for the rest of 2015 is better as a result of several contract wins, which will bring revenue as soon as Q3 and Q4. Okay. Also, we have to note that in the first half of 2015, we did not record revenue from the licensing program of our NFC patents program managed by France Brevets. But indeed, we remain confident about the ability to continue generating significant revenue over this program on the long term. Software protection products, based on the technology acquired from Metaphoric, continue to see very firm business activity. In the second quarter, we signed a significant license with a U.S. health insurer that is aimed at enhancing the security of the mobile applications used by the customers of this insurer. In addition, we are marketing our HC mobile payment solution to banks and an expanding ecosystem of major specification drivers and integrators. In this context, we have signed an initial distribution and licensing contract, including one with a world leader in digital security that unfortunately we cannot name, but we believe that you could guess who they are. This contract would generate revenue mainly in the form of royalties by the beginning of 2016 when customers of us will deploy solution incorporating our technology. The segment adjusted gross margin was close to 90%, 90, of revenue. This reflects a favorable product mix consisting mainly of licenses, royalties, and maintenance revenue. Mobile security segment, however, reported a loss of $5.5 million in the first half of this year, despite a reduction of 29% of the expenses. This is due to the lower revenue base. Now moving to a secure transaction division, the revenue for this division amounted to $23.2 million in the first half of 2015. This is substantially lower than the previous year, despite this firm business level in secure access products and secure modules. but as we said, sales of EMV chips and modules in the US remain below our expectation, and therefore it failed to offset the expected decline in companies' legacy EMV chip and identification businesses in Europe. However, new agreements and design win in the first half of the year did not materially contribute to revenue. We believe they are promising in terms of company future growth, particularly in the Internet of Things, brand protection, and anti-counterfeiting solution. And as we said, this can be illustrated by this partnership with Selinco to offer a 100% secure connected spirit bottle to solution to Rémy Martin. Segment reporting an adjusted gross margin of 26% compared to 25% compared to 26% a year ago, and this is mainly due to a provision for excess inventories resulting from our slower than expected growth in the U.S. Excluding that one-time provision, gross margin in the first half of this year would have rose significantly thanks to an improved product mix. Segment reduces its operating loss to $4.5 million compared to $5.5 million a year ago through lower operating expense and despite a lower gross profit. Commenting now on the cash position and the cash flow. As of June 30th of 2015, we had $24 million in cash compared with $36 million on January 1st, 2015. The main movements in cash during the first half of this year were as follows. Cash generated by operations activities before changes in working capital absorbed close to $7 million. This is mechanically due to the operating loss. Also, we had to face an increase in working capital requirements, which did absorb close to $5 million, and this is mostly due to an increase in inventories. Capital expenditure remain at a very low level, and a structurally low level, now that we have decreased the intensivity of our business model, cash intensivity of our business model, so it remains below $1 million. Also, in terms of cash inflows, in April 2015, we had put in place an equity line of financing with Kepler Chevreux. We just used it for in April and May to issue 400,000 shares, which brought $900,000 of cash, but no cash was drawn down since then. So we retain the ability to issue a further 3 million shares through April 2017, but have no plan to use it as of today, since we believe currently we have the cash to fund our operation for the foreseeable future. And indeed, on the balance sheet, we believe we maintain a strong financial position with an equity of $72 million and only marginal to known indebtedness. Thank you for that, for your attention. I will now hand over to Rémy, who is going to comment on the outlook for the rest of this year.
Thanks, Richard. So, you will have understood from our different comments that H1 was definitely the low point of the activity and the transformation of Inside Secure. We expect some significant improvement in H2 as we see the result of some of the contracts that we have signed, especially on the software protection front, but as well on the secure IP core, where we believe we'll get the first result of the investment that we have made. I will not go through the list of the contracts that have been signed, but they are very significant on the HC mobile payment. You have the list here. Probably best is to give you a quick reminder of how we see the future. We believe the market for embedded security is about to explode. Why? Because it is very clear day by day that the smartphones are not secure. Apple is relatively secure, Android is not. And Android is about 75% of the market. Every day you read scary news about the fact that if you a simple MMS sent to an Android phone can become a Trojan horse and get all of your data. If you look at the IoT, and the IoT is now a reality, you have probably more devices connected to the IoT, 12 to 14 billion devices, than you have smartphone and tablet and phablet, so this is becoming very, very significant. And when it comes to IoT, it is simply scary, totally scary. I guess that most of you have seen the video, the YouTube video of this Chrysler Cherokee Jeep, a two-ton SUV that is totally under the control of two hackers. You should go, if you have not, you go on YouTube and you type Jeep Cherokee hacked, and it is absolutely scary. The guy is driving on the right lane of the highway in the US, and all of a sudden everything bad happened, windshield, aircon, music, okay, this is not a big deal, but then just the engine stops. He's on the right lane and the engine stops, and he's immobilized on the right lane of the highway with heavy trucks. And the worst part is for the end, they ask him to go on the parking lot, and then they just invalidate the brakes. There is no brakes. So what they do here is transforming this car, of which the infotainment system is connected to the internet, simply into a killing machine. And again, let me say it, it is crazy and scary when you think that somebody like Chrysler is in the business of developing cars for about 100 years, and that the fundamental of their business is to develop more comfortable and safer cars. And all of a sudden, with the introduction of a car connected to the internet, this car becomes absolutely, totally unsafe, killing machine. And this is what is happening today on the IoT. Everyone who wants to introduce a new IoT device, whether it is a fridge, a coffee machine, a wearable device, a car, is just thinking of, let's go quick to market, let's make it as fast as possible, as cheap as possible, and check if the market likes it, if the consumer likes it. And when the consumer likes it, then you have millions of these devices, and hacker says, oh, that smells good, I am going to do a lot of nasty things, or I'm going to make a lot of money with that. And this is exactly what is happening. The Jeep is probably the most scary, but you have example again with fridge that are sending a spam email, and there is no security, and the only way to protect that is to embed the security at the heart of these devices, be it simple software, if I may say, it is anything but simple, but it is easy to deploy when it is software, or be it secure IP cores that you put within the application processor. If you want to understand what is a secure IP core, you think of a smart card, and a smart card has a very secure chip, very safe, that can perform all the security functionality to make sure that you are who you are, the other party is who it pretends to be, and all communication is safely encrypted. And the idea here of what we are developing, and this is a massive development, we have about 70 people developing that, and no revenue in front of that today. The idea of this development is to take the smart car chip and to integrate it, to make it a core, a subpart within the big application or small application processor chip within a smart meter, a thermostat, a car, or a smartphone. So that's quite a breakthrough approach on which we are uniquely positioned. So the market is about to explode. In the field of software protection, you have seen the rather impressive list of contracts that we have signed over the last few weeks. Big, huge channel to market, Visa being the the largest one, but for you to understand how revenue will come from that, well, Visa is going to refer banks to us. In fact, they have already started to refer banks to us. And from that, the banks will start deploying their mobile payment solution with our product. And then customers from BNP, Barclays, Citi, etc., are going to download the mobile payment application. And for every download that happens, we will have 30, 40, 45 cents per download. And that's, of course, a very virtuous business model because it is recurring and growing royalties. Just as I talk now, Richard is reminding me that we signed a top retailer in the U.S. Last Friday. Can we mention the name? Yeah, we will do the press release soon.
No, unfortunately, no.
Okay, so we have signed a major retailer in the U.S. as well for a mobile banking application. But all of that is signed, and therefore we know safely that this is going to happen in 2016. And the investment is behind us. R&D, commercial, is mostly behind us. In the field of secure IP cores, the same is going to happen because the second generation of those IoT devices will need some level of security. It is obvious that a Chrysler has to do something. And over the last 2 weeks, we had something like 5 articles. The last one was in TechCrunch. About how our software, only the software protection technology that we have, would eliminate 99% of those hacking that are so easy today to do from your couch with your internet on the knees. So you understand clearly that we are geared to be a growth company and that we are investing heavily for our future. Luckily, because of the hard work and our long history, we have this NFC licensing program for which the two big fish are still ahead of us. Huh? The two big fish are Apple and Samsung. And we believe that we are progressing in the discussion, but as you understand as well, this has to stay very, very confidential. But in short and in one line, we are built for growth. We are developing the company and we are developing our roadmap to get back to being a growth company in a hot space. And with that, I'll be very happy to address any question.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. We have a first question from Mr. Stéphane Houri from Natixis. Sir, please go ahead.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, loud and clear.
Okay. Good morning to Richard and Rémi. I have a few questions, as you can imagine, and I will, if you like, give you all the questions and then you answer. I have a few. So the first one would be to understand what is the part of the legacy business that is remaining, how much, and by the way, how do you define the legacy business. Then just a clarification on your strategy today on the EMV in the US. Are you giving up or do you still continue to spend a little bit of money on that? Then maybe to understand what is going to be the level of business expected on Metaphoric this year, because I understand that some contracts have already been signed, some are about to be, but really in the model, how much should I put this year? I know you can't give us precise number, but maybe a range. And just to understand on the IP NFC program, the kind of range we could expect for the for this year. And last question, but this is a very short one. Let's imagine that you have cleaned up all your product portfolio and that you are in the right position with the businesses that you want to keep. What is the kind of gross margin and EBIT margin that we can expect in the long term? Thank you very much.
Ulla, Stefan, you have been asking all the good questions. I'm not sure there will be more after that.
I will take the first one on the legacy business. What we call legacy business as of now is, as we have put in different PR, financial PR over the last 18 months, these are semiconductor offering on which we don't invest in new technology platform because we believe our market share does not support such investments and typically in areas where it is very well specified and therefore for which we cannot have a sustainable differentiation. And this is namely the payment EMV, so chip and pin payment in Europe. So the historical EMV business, and also identification solution, which more and more are subject to specification, so coming more and more commoditized at the semiconductor level. I'm not saying that it's a commodity at the end customer level when you integrate software and services, but as a semiconductor company, this is what we believe. So for the first half of this year, it was about $2 million of those business revenue, which could fall into this category. And for the second half of this year, it should be $1 to $1.5 million. So decreasing naturally, and indeed marginal compared to the total revenue.
Okay.
Remy, you want to comment a bit, Remy, on EMV in the US?
Yes. US EMV, it is clear by now that the Java camp has won the war. Therefore, we will remain a marginal player with a few smaller customers. And it is likely that the volume for our product will come more from other emerging geographies that are adopting EMV either in South America or Eastern Europe or Southeast Asia or even in Africa. This happened that sometimes it is not the best technology that wins, and we are deeply convinced just based on the fact that our technology is better than the Java one, but that's it. The very big guys have done the right. So we intend to stay on some of the pocket of the market, as I just explained, same as what Richard was explaining with strong security chip with customers with whom we have intimate relationship for years, customers of which we cannot give the name, but big guys in the internet field for secure authentication of big internet gears, or in the pay TV field, or in the secure cloud field, and this is where we bring some differentiation. Now to your question regarding Metaphoric. Well, Metaphoric, when we bought them, were below $1 million revenue. The first half of the year is still below the $1 million revenue. But all the contracts that we have signed, including the one to which we are referring in the press communique, a multi-million dollar contract with a top tier one bank in the U.S., say that we are already past the $1 million bar. We are looking at something like $6 to $8 million for the whole of the year. So you see the change of dynamic from less than $1 million to $6 to $8 million this year, knowing that the rollout of royalties, the rollout of customers on mobile banking, and therefore the rollout of royalties, will not happen until next year. This year it will be very, very little. Your question on the NFC IP, there are two kinds of customers. There are the smaller ones like HTC, Sony, Huawei, Lenovo, where the contract will be below $10 million. And then there are the two big guys. So this is the difficulty of this business, that you will not sign the very big guys until you have signed two to three smaller guys. And therefore, it is extremely difficult to give any forecast. The only thing I would say is that I would be more than disappointed if we were not to sign at least one of those in the second half of the year. If we were to sign two, well, great.
Okay.
Even without that, you will have understood that H2 will have a very different profile than H1, even if we were not to sign a NFC IP deal. Gross margin long term, well, as soon as we have, quote-unquote, cleaned the portfolio of product, we are looking at a product line where we have 90% of gross margin. Therefore, as we go down the legacy business, as we said, next year probably we are targeting something around 60-65%, would be the right figure. And as the business of secure IP and secure software, 90% gross margin does grow, and we are left only with a few intimate customers on the secure chip side, this will go up further.
And therefore, we should be able to report operating margin in the range of 25-28%.
All right, very clear. We didn't talk at all about ESS. You see, there is still a remaining question. Is this business growing at all or not anymore? And what's the kind of profile we should look at for the future? Because I understand the margins are still very good, very healthy. But what about the growth? Thank you.
So, yes, indeed, it is quite stable and quite profitable. And it will stay like that with two caveats. One in the field of content protection, where there are some new DRM scheme, one that we announced in Q1, called SCSA with a big Hollywood studio, and depending on how good this is going to take off, we are extremely well positioned. So this one could be an area of growth. The other one that is part of ESS is the development of the secure IP core, because you know the hardware IP knowledge is within ESS, and we marry this hardware IP knowledge with our knowledge of developing very secure chips to develop those secure IP cores for the IoT. And here we have a roadmap of three products to address the different segments of the market, from the low security requirement to the high security requirement. And this is going to ramp up as well, we believe, well, probably not until second half of 2016 for the IoT, because those products are under development now. So this will provide a nice growth round for the ESS business.
Okay, I think that's it for me. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Stefan.
The following question is from Christopher Edison from TBS. Sir, please go ahead. Mr. Edison, you have the floor.
It may be that Stefan has already asked the question.
We have no answer from Mr. Christopher Edison. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Thank you.
All right, I believe that we are done, and I think indeed that through your question, Stefan, we have covered all the key points. Just want to insist once more that a huge work has been done. of the last 3 years. It does not translate well into the figures today. We are at the critical juncture today. We believe that now the business is going to come to the kind of technology that we have developed, that it is unavoidable. It is just a matter of time, but not a matter of years. And therefore, bear with us. Stand with us, and we believe that the better part is ahead of us now. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes the conference call. Thank you all for your participation. You may now disconnect.